Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our services this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. 34 in Sunday school this morning. That's a blessing. I'd like to continue to encourage you to... We have Sunday school for all ages, and for you to come and participate and find a class and encourage others to come to Sunday school and join us for that time of study and fellowship. Choir practice tonight at 5:30, so please be here for that. Next Sunday night, the Valdosta State University Baptist Collegiate Ministries will be with us for the evening service. We will take up a love offering that night to help with their summer mission trips. We'll hear more about that through them Sunday night through Send Me Now. We'll have a time of food and fellowship after the service. So please plan on staying, coming, and hearing the Valdosta State college people bring finger foods or food or whatever. I can't speak for college students today, but when I was in college, I'll be honest with you, I was always ready to eat. And I know when Heather was in college at Georgia Southern, when Janice and I would go up there to visit her, Jackson's here. Good to see you. Jackson back here going, yay, yay.
Holidays.
Yeah. But I can remember going there to visit her and her friends, and they were always ready to eat a lot, too. So I'm sure these will be, too. So please come and join us for that. Any other announcements? Birthdays.
Dina.
Okay. Destina.
Larry, you say this thing is 12 years old today, is that hard? 12 years old?
I wish.
All right, well, let's sing happy birthday to this thing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do come today, Lord, just praising your holy name, Lord. We thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord. We thank you for the time of Bible study and fellowship and that, Lord. But now we come to a time of worship, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for all that are here today, Lord, that we have all come and we have prepared our hearts to hear your word proclaimed and preached this morning, Lord. I want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us and through the Holy Spirit tells us what we need to hear today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we not only hear it, Lord, but that we are able to apply it and use it in our lives, Lord. I know we will, Lord, and that we'll just continue, as we talked about in Sunday school today, Lord, show that obedience, Lord, through our actions and through our words. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, our call to worship this morning is hymn 215, Majesty. If you'll please stand as we sing. Thank you.
Thank you. songs and we glorify your name and do your will. In our Savior Father's name, I pray. Amen.
If you take the Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to look at a passage this morning that is probably one of my favorite passages, parables in Scripture. And the reason it is probably one of my favorite is because I see so much of myself in this passage. The parable we're going to look at today is what many of your subtitles in your Bible say, the lost son, or the loving father, or the prodigal son. And so as we look at this, I want to just go ahead and read it and just jump right into this sermon this morning. So if you will read with me, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Says, then he, meaning Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
and they began to be merry. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word this morning. God, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds to see and to read and to, Lord, let this parable enter into our minds, but also into our hearts. Lord, because every one of us here today should see ourselves as this prodigal son in one way or another. So, Lord, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, convicting our hearts, Lord, that you would bring us to the place you want us to be. Lord, I pray that we would all come to our senses and realize who you are and realize the provision, the protection. Lord, everything that you have for us, Lord, we just need to realize who you are and return to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this parable Jesus is telling tells us that this certain man, and as I've often stated as we cover passages in the Gospels, that anytime Jesus tells a story and uses the phrase a certain man, it refers to a certain, a real life person, a Jewish man in this instance. But I want us to look at this another way, because as a parable, my definition of a parable is a earthly story with what? A heavenly meaning. So in this story that Jesus is telling, he is talking about a real factual situation, but he's also indicating that this certain father is representative of who? God the Father. And so this man had two sons. We'll talk about the other son next week, okay? The younger one, he comes to his dad, and maybe he's not happy about how things are going. Maybe he expected to be a rock star by now, or whatever in his life he thought he could be or do, but his daddy was holding him back. How many of y'all ever been that way? Mom and daddy holding you back, so what do you want to do? You want to spread your wings and fly, right? But here's the thing, he could have gone nowhere without whose money? Am I telling the truth? He says, Dad, give me a portion, my portion, what's coming to me. Now, I want us to notice his father did not rebuke him at this point in time, because as old TV shows, fathers sometimes know best, right? He knew that there was no way he was going to talk his son out of doing what he was going to do. He had to let him go and spread his wings and fly, and if he crashed, he crashed. Sometimes we call that what? Tough love. His dad divides up his possessions. Two-thirds would go to the eldest son. One-third would go to the youngest son. The next day, the Bible tells us that the younger son loads up everything that he has, and he sets out. And he goes on the journey. My Bible says he went to a far country. But I want us to realize something. Anytime we're outside the will of God, we are in a far country. Amen. Anytime we are in sin, living in sin, we are in a far country, because we are not where we are supposed to be. We're not acting in obedience to what God the Father wants for us. This younger son, maybe he just didn't like to have to get up early in the morning to do his chores. And one of y'all like getting up when you were a kid doing your chores? Maybe he didn't like telling his father telling him what to do. Maybe he thought he had it worse than all the other kids. You ever felt that way? Why are you always picking on me? Everybody else don't have to do what you're making me do. You see, we're just like this prodigal son in so many ways. But this younger son leaves, And where he thought he was going, he thought it was going to be a lot better for him. You know, cows do the same thing. Grass is always greener where? Till you step in a cow paddock, right? It always looks better somewhere else than where you are. And many of us find that out the hard way, don't we? We think that life is so much bigger, so much grander than what we could ever imagine because we're from the small town of Wigan, right? We're from small towns, and we think the big lights and cities and all that stuff has something for us. But many times that's the worst place for us to be. Because if we're not in the center of God's will, then we're totally outside of God's will. This young man loads everything up and moves to a far country. He wanted to get away from his father. He wanted to do whatever he wanted to do at any expense. You see, it really wasn't costing him a dime, was it? He was living it up on daddy's money, not on his own. He wanted to have a good time. He didn't want to have to play by rules. But when he left home, he left the provision and protection of his father. Daddy provided everything that he needed. And in reality, when he came and asked his dad for the portion of goods that fell to him, what was he really telling his father? How many of you ever got your inheritance from your parents or grandparents before they were dead? Anybody here? Okay, maybe one. Most of us do not receive an inheritance until after the person who's leaving it to us dies, right? So really, in reality, what is this young son telling his father? He's saying, Daddy, you are dead to me. You're dead to me. Give me what I have coming. And he leaves and he heads out to this place that he thinks he's just going to have a great time. But if we look at this passage, we realize that it wasn't that long that he had spent all that he had. He had spent all that he had. When the booze ran out, when the food ran out, then the friends ran out. You know how you can tell who your true friends are? I'm going to give you a test. You can tell who your true friends are when you have nothing to give them and they're still there with you. Amen? That's your true friends. The true friends that aren't just going to be there for the good times, they're going to be there with you through the bad times as well. They're not going to leave you hanging by yourself. But this young man realized after it was too late that when his finances ran out, his food ran out, his shelter ran out, he had nowhere to go. He, in our terminology, we'd have to say he hit rock bottom. And you know, sometimes that is true for us. We have to hit rock bottom before we begin to look up. Verse 14 tells us that there was a severe famine. That severe famine leads to drought. It leads to ruin. We don't notice it so much today because of the way our economies are. And in a few hours, you can have something shipped from Albany, Georgia to wherever in the world, or from Tallahassee or from one of the other airports. In just a few hours, you could be halfway around the globe. And so if you need grapefruits or oranges or whatever, you don't necessarily worry about it today like people did back then. Because when they had a regional drought that affected the whole country, man, people would starve to death. Yes, we have problems today. But back then, when it would take you weeks to travel a couple hundred miles, it's a different story. This young man, that's what using the word prodigal is often relates to. It means to be extravagant. In other words, he wasn't being frugal with his money. He wasn't trying to save his money. He was just whatever he wanted to do, he did, you know. But it also cued a content of sexual immorality, okay? He wasted what his father had given him. And you know what is true today? How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have wasted what God has given you? Time, talents, treasures, whatever. How many of us are guilty of wasting what God has given to us through the years? You see, we can all look at ourselves in this passage and say, I'm a prodigal son, or maybe a prodigal daughter. I've been wasteful with what God's given me. I've been wasteful with what my mom or dad has given me through the years. We can look at our lives and see that we haven't done as we should according to God's will and God's word. What does he do? Well, he ends up in the pig pen, right? He thought it was greener. And see, y'all thought I was kidding. I said a cow patty, but, you know, it was actually pig patties, you know. Anyhow, he ends up in a place he didn't want to be. And we have to understand that for a Jewish man, the most unclean animal on this earth was a what? A pig. He's joined himself to a citizen of that country. But apparently, he wasn't making enough to have a place to live. He wasn't making enough to even have food to eat. And this citizen of this far country, he was working him to death, but the guy was starving to death. This younger son was starving to death. He was feeding swine, but he himself was starving. And scripture tells us that he would have gladly eaten of those pods. Call them carob pods. Those carob pods, they say, were very sweet, but so tough that only animals and the poorest of the people would eat them. It says he would gladly have eaten them, but nobody gave him anything. Being a proud Jewish man, he was not going to steal from the person whom he had joined to that country with. And so as he's in this pig pen, he begins to think. I love the way the Bible reads right there. When you read here in chapter 15, verse 17, it says, but when he did what? When he came to himself. And I love that word, but. Anytime you see that word, but, in the New Testament, you need to circle it, because there's a change of pace that is happening. Usually God is stepping into the scene. This man was at a place he couldn't do anything about. He could no longer do anything for himself. He could not save himself. Amen? He couldn't even provide for his own needs. He had to realize that he had a father who had everything he needed. And you know that's true with us today. We have a heavenly father who has every single thing we need. We just have to come to our senses and say, look, the world's going to paint the picture of it so much better somewhere else. You're going to be so much happier over here. How many of you ever thought if you bought a new car, you were going to be happy? Come on, we're in church, tell the truth. I'm going to buy a new car and be happy. Were you happy after you bought the new car? Not once you made that first payment, right? You see, the world paints a beautiful picture. But when you get there, you find that's all it was a picture. It's empty, it's hollow. But when we look at this story, we realize that the prodigal son, this younger son, comes to himself. He comes to his senses, and he realizes, hey, my daddy's servants are better off than I am. His servants are better. They have food and enough that they have some left over. and I'm starving to death. You know, and so he begins to think for himself, and he says, how have I gotten here? My pastor used to say this, and Harold and I talked about this from town to town. He used to say this. He says, sin will always take you further than you're willing to go. Sin will always keep you longer than you are willing to stay, excuse me. And sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. You look back in your life and realize, and I thank God for people who can say, you know, I walked God my whole life. I've never done anything wrong. But can I tell you, that's probably few and far between on most of us. There's been times in our lives maybe we walked with God, and there's been times when we left God and did our own thing. And maybe that happens on a daily basis. Maybe we realize it and we come home within a day or two. Other times it may take us weeks, months, years to turn around and say, hey, my Father in heaven has everything I need. Why am I searching out here in the world for things that are never going to truly satisfy? This young man comes to his senses. He decides that he's going to come home. Look back at verses 18 and 19. I want to read this because I think it's important for us to understand, for us to restore fellowship with God, we have to admit we have sinned. Amen. To restore a fellowship with God the Father, we have to admit we have sinned. If you don't have a relationship with God the Father, period, and you cannot say you are his son or his daughter, then you need to realize you are a sinner, and he has provided the only way of salvation through his son. But we have to admit. Let's read this. Verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This son made a decision. His decision was to do what? To return. His decision was to, hey, and that is true repentance, amen? Because it's one thing if I'm walking this way and I say, okay, I admit I'm wrong, but I'm going to keep going this way. Is that repentance or is that just admitting you're a sinner? That's just saying I'm a sinner. But true repentance is when I realize that I'm doing the wrong thing and I need to turn around and begin to do what is right. I need to walk back to God, and this parable shows how important it is to come to our senses, to admit our sins, but then to do something about it, to turn from them. I don't earn my salvation, but because I'm saved, I should want to be obedient to my Father. I should want to be in his provision. I should want to be in his protection. I could imagine the long road home. You ever got somewhere and realized you didn't have the money you needed to do everything you wanted to do when you got there? And you come home and you pass by every little town that's got 1,500 fast food restaurants and you can smell them through the air on the interstate, you know what I mean? And you're driving through there, but you don't have enough money to barely get home with gas. Hungry. And you're thinking as you're heading home, I sure wish I could get there quicker. But as this young man's walking, he's probably thinking, you know, I don't even know if my dad's going to take me back. I don't even know if he'll let me in the house because I said he was dead to me. I didn't like to obey him before, so why would he even hire me back as a servant? Because isn't that what he asked? He said, listen, I just want to be a servant in my Father's house. Just feed me, clothe me, protect me. but he's asking himself these questions like we all do because we wonder if we're good enough for God to accept us back. Right? Because sometimes we really blow it in life. I want us to look at verse 20. Because as he's walking home, look at verse 20. It says, "And he arose and came to his father." He made a choice. He's making the trip. It says, as he's heading home, while he was still a, was, does your Bible say, a short way off or a long way off?
A great way.
He was a long way off. His father did what? His father saw him. His father saw him. For his father to see him means that he had to be what? He had to be looking for him. The Father had to be looking for him. God the Father is looking for him. God the Father is looking for you. He's looking for me. He's looking for all of us to say, "Listen, come on home, child. I've got the place. I've got forgiveness. I've got grace. I've got love. I've got mercy. I've got everything you need. You just need to come home. You just need to come home." And I can imagine as he's looking and scanning the father, he's scanning the horizon looking for his son. And it must have been something he did day after day. Right? Because how many of you have ever had a child that's gone off and you didn't know where they were? And every day you're waiting by the phone. Every day you're looking for them to come home. And his father's looking for the child, his child, his son. And the son's thinking, "Well, Daddy's never going to take him back." My Bible says that when he saw him, great distance, that he did what? He said, "Oh, no, son, I'm not taking you back." Is that what he said? Did he say, "I'm not going to hug you, I'm just, you know, just go get cleaned up. I don't want you to smell like a pig in my house." Did he say that? No. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion. What does compassion mean? My definition, what does compassion mean? Move to what? To action. The father was moved to action. He saw his son. He knew his son was coming home, and he did something about it. Amen? He didn't just feel sorry for him. He did something. And it says he had compassion and he ran. In those days, it was undignified for a grown man to run. You had servants to do that. You don't chase a cow, you don't chase it. Well, they didn't have pigs in the Jewish. But you don't chase the chickens. The servants did that. The father, the man, the Jewish man of that time did not run. And so this father, it shows the love. My Bible says if you draw near to God, he will do what?
Draw near to you.
Draw near to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Return to me and I will return to you." So you see here, this is a theme in Scripture that, hey, when I realize I've gone out on a limb, that I'm not in the family, and I need to get in the family first, right? By trusting in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and having my sins forgiven. But I has also realized, too, that as a child of God, so many times we wander from God, don't we? We're not where we're supposed to be. We're not doing what we're supposed to be. And hear me on this. You can be in church every single time the door's open and still live in a far country. I'm going to say that again. I'm not going over my head, right? You can be in the church every time the doors are open and still be living in a far country with God. If we're not being obedient to Him, if we're not doing what He wants us to do, if we think somehow we deserve everything we got, because that's the older brother next week, right? Then we're missing the mark. What God wants us to do is realize that, hey, We can't do life alone. We can't do this alone. We can't do it by ourselves. We need Him. We need Him in our lives. We need Him to save us. We need Him to forgive us of our sins. But we first have to admit that we're sinners, and we have to turn from them and turn to Him. That's what we've got to do. But I believe that probably for most of us today, we say we're saved. We have a relationship with God. Can I say this morning? Can you say you're 100% obedient to God? If not, maybe you're living in a far country. Are you in His Word every day? If you're not, maybe you're in a far country. Are you spending time in prayer every day? Maybe you're in a far country. Because what I believe God wants from His children is the same thing as we want as parents. You just have kids to let them stay in the house and have no contact with them, no communication, no fellowship, no fun. Do you do that? We have children so that we can have a relationship, so that we can fellowship with one another. And God desires that same thing from us. He doesn't want to live on one side of the house and you on the other. He wants everybody to live together. Amen? And so we realize that we need to turn and come home. Now, let me wrap it up by saying this. When this young son came home, when he realized all that the father had, he comes home, still expecting not to be accepted. As soon as he begins to confess his sins against God and against his father, what does the father do? Does he let him keep on going and say, "I told you"? I ever heard that as a kid or a parent? Told you. He didn't say that. He tells his servants to what? Go get the dirtiest robe you can find. The ugliest robe you can find. He said the best. Get the best robe. That showed a place of honor. Amen? It wasn't that you're some scum of the earth and we're just going to let you sit at our feet at dinner table. No, you're going to come in and you're going to sit down with the best of us. You're going to come on in. And they said, well, get a ring, because that showed authority. Slaves didn't wear robes and slaves didn't wear rings. And can I tell you something else that showed the final acceptance back into the family? Now, we don't think much about it because some of us have not just one or two pairs of shoes, we've got 100 or 200 pairs of shoes, right? And so here we come. He says, bring some sandals and put them on his feet. Slaves did not wear shoes back then. Slaves didn't wear shoes. And so what he's telling us, saying, you're not going to be a servant, you're not going to be a slave, you're going to sit at the table with us, you're going to sit at the table and eat with us in fellowship, you're going to have a place of authority, and you don't have to worry about serving others or serving me. You just come in and accept my gift to you. Verse 24, I'm going to wrap up with this. Verse 24. Let's read what it says. It says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. Can I tell you that if you're without Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sins? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. This father was literally saying that his son was dead spiritually. But he has come home, and because he has come home, he has returned to the Father. He is alive. He is made alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. He was lost, but now he's found. Man, can you say that this morning? Can you say that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but today I've been made alive through Jesus Christ? I admit I'm a sinner. I accept the offer of grace and forgiveness that God gives to us. Have we been found? Because the only way to be found is to be found in Christ. Anyone who is not found in Christ is going to be hearing these words at the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment seat. He's going to say what? Depart from me, I never knew you. See, if we're not found in Christ, we have no hope. We're just like the prodigal son, like he's stuck in the pig pen. We have no way of getting heaven on our own. We can only get there through the blood of Jesus. I want to leave you with this. I already quoted these two verses. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Malachi 3:7, return to me and I will return to you. If you're lost this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to this morning. The altar's open. He said, I don't know how to come. I'll do my best to show you how you can have a relationship with Jesus. He said, well, maybe I know Jesus. I'm saved, but I haven't been living the way he wants me to. Can I invite you to come home this morning? Just come home. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, God, that you just have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray for the one today who may have never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that you would convict their hearts, but Lord, they would realize that there is love, there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy in the Father's house. But it's only through the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray for others this morning who would admit, Lord, that they're not where they should be in their relationship and fellowship with you. And Lord, today they just want to come home. They want to return to you, realizing, Lord, that you are the best place for any of us to be. So, Lord, I pray that no matter what it is you're working on our hearts today with, Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to your will, to your word. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.